Joining me now is Dr. Kevin Most. We love talking with him. He is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Hello, sir.
John, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Great time to be a doctor and have you on the air because we got lots of questions. And, Doctor, I think I'll start with the dumbest question I've got. How does that sound?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So when I watch the briefings that the president's medical team has given the last couple days, I see a lot of guys and gals in white coats behind them. And I wonder to myself, is there any risk? Is there ever a point where there's too many voices in the room? Is that a weird question?
Well, no, it's not a weird question at all. It's, you know, how many cooks in the kitchen? Mm-hmm. You know, but if you look at them, each of them has a specific area of expertise, you know, so that there's a pulmonary critical care doctor there who's really focusing on the lungs and what they can do. There's a cardiologist there. There's an infectious disease doctor there. And then Dr. Conley is obviously the captain of the ship, looking at the expertise of all of these individuals, because when they're making decisions on medications, he wants to make sure that all of them are on board saying, yes, that makes sense from my organ system that I'm responsible for. Yes, that makes sense from the infectious disease point of view. So getting all of them in one room definitely gives you all the viewpoints, and you're not siloed, and you're not looking at just a narrow view of one individual.
Yeah, I guess it's like a pilot that has all these different readings, but ultimately it's up to the captain to figure out which way we're going.
Exactly. And that's probably the most important thing, is that there's a captain of the ship that says, okay, based on all the information here, this is what I am deciding, and are we all on board with this?
But you didn't see it because it's radio, but I just gave myself a fist bump for that analogy after you said that it was correct. So I appreciate that and file it away. Another thing I've been seeing on the internets, which is always a great place, is that the guy leading the ship here, Dr. Conley, is not an MD, but a DO, which is a Doctors of Osteopathic Medicine. Can you tell me what the difference is and if that matters at all?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. You know, years and years and years ago, a physician by the name of Andrew Taylor Still was upset with traditional medicine and said, you know, he thinks that the body should be able to heal itself more by staying away from some of the quackery medicines that were going on, and started this essentially different pathway of medical school. Since then, you know, obviously science has caught up with a lot of this. And if you look at schools like Michigan State, they offer both an MD, an allopathic medical school, as well as an osteopathic medical school. The doctors take the exact same board test. They take the exact same licensure test. They have the exact same responsibilities. So it used to be very primary care focused, and now has gone to, you know, every subspecialty possible. And there's a lot of schools, you know, West Virginia, University of Texas, Michigan State, that offer both of the medical schools together. And then there's our independent medical schools as well that just do osteopathic. But they still have to take the same licensing exams to make sure that the educational process is the same.
So that doesn't give you any pause?
Not at all.
Okay.
Done.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad we can dispel one rumor. All right. I want to get into the treatments that the president's undergoing. And not to put you on the spot on this sort of stuff, but remdesivir, and then he had the cocktail of, I don't know what they called it before that, and then another word I can't pronounce, the steroid dexamethasone.
Yep.
Didn't get any of those right. But is this unusual in a 48-hour period to see this much treatment for one patient?
Yeah, it's very interesting what they're doing. You know, certainly remdesivir is a medication that we've been studying now for months and months. It has emergency use authorization, EUA, by the FDA, so that all patients, any patient that fits the criteria, could get it. The Regeneron, which is the polyclonal antibody one that you were talking about, that one's a little interesting. They're still in phase 3 studies. Very small number of people have received it. 275 are in this study right now. None of them really with the same comorbidities or age that the president, and has not been given the EUA from the FDA. I hate to use all these acronyms,
yes,
but emergency use authorization. And instead, they got what they call a compassionate use, which is usually saved for someone who is at end of life, and boy, we want to just try this drug even though it may not be appropriate. So that's how they got to that. The confusing one that everyone is probably hearing now is the steroid, the dexamethasone, and you did very good in pronouncing that.
Hey, oh, fist bump.
But it's usually not given to patients early in the illness. It's usually only given to patients who are requiring supplemental oxygen or are on a ventilator. And as a matter of fact, the New England Journal of Medicine study that came out in July really showed that giving it to patients who are not on supplemental oxygen, not only did it not help, it was actually detrimental in some of them. So that's the confusing one, is why was he given this medication if his symptoms are so mild, where this medication has been shown to not be good for that and really only be good for individuals who have more severe lung illness.
Does seeing the president in videos make Dr. Most feel better about his condition? We're going to ask him that. I have to put him on hold. Two medical questions and Dr. Most. And Dr. Most, I was kind of teasing before the break the idea of, you know, we've seen the president in a couple videos that he's tweeted out. We saw him in his vehicle in a controversial move, driving around and waving to his supporters. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, when he has taken the steroid, which you kind of set up as something that maybe is taken for patients that are having a more severe symptoms, when you look at, I guess what I'm saying is, can we feel good seeing videos of him knowing that he's at least in good enough condition to do those and to be in public?
Yeah, you know, the videos, a couple things. One, I think if everybody that looks at it, he doesn't seem to have the energy that he normally would have had, and that's not surprising.
Right.
One of the things we look at is, for people who are short of breath or have lung issues, is something called conversational dyspnea. And what that means is that I can't finish a sentence without stopping to take a breath. He didn't have that. He obviously talked through, if I'm not mistaken, his 4 or 5 minute video without looking like, oh my gosh, okay, let me stop and take a deep breath here. So, you know, that's one sign that we look for when people say that they are short of breath. Two, obviously his trip yesterday has really gotten, his car ride yesterday has gotten a lot of concern, yeah. I guess, raised by medical, you know, people. What's the judgment of him using that? Here you take somebody and you put him into a close environment with two individuals who are not sick, and you know someone is sick in a very tightly sealed automobile. Probably not the best judgment. He looked okay. You know, he looked like he was, you know, smiling and waving. So from those brief physical points, I'm not as concerned. Just the medications and just not knowing exactly what his course is. We do know, John, that when people have symptoms early in this illness and we treat those symptoms, whether it's bringing down their fever, giving them some medication that will help them feel a little bit better, even some of the oxygen, we know that they get better. And then, unfortunately, many have this other big secondary relapse, and that's one of the concerns.
Yeah.
He's getting vitamin D. Okay, that's great for our immune system. He's getting zinc, which is thought to have an antiviral impact. He's getting melatonin, which people say, why would he get melatonin? Well, the dexamethasone, one of the side effects of it is insomnia, yeah. So they may have been giving that to allow him to rest easier.
Yeah, okay, so then there's this thought that he might be released from the hospital today or in the coming days. You mentioned this sort of secondary wave of symptoms that a lot of people talk to. You talk to anyone that has gone through this in some severe way or had strong reaction, they talk about good days and then bad days. It's not like a lot of viruses or flu where you start to feel better and then it's this linear path towards feeling fine again. Obviously, it's not like me being released from the hospital, going back to my house, left to the care of no professionals. Obviously, the White House is a different scenario. But does that surprise you that they're floating that idea so soon?
Absolutely. You know, for a couple of reasons. One, he's going to continue to get the remdesivir. That's 5 days. He's going to get that in IV, and it has side effects, nausea, lightheaded, chills. He's going to continue to get the dexamethasone, which has side effects of irritability, changes in your blood sugar, insomnia. And again, he is 74 years old. You know, if something bad were to happen, you want to have all the experts in the room there at the immediate time in case anything were to happen. So if we're doing this, if we went to Walter Reed on an overabundance of caution on Friday, I would say stay there for the overabundance of caution at least through, you know, 3, 5, 6 days to make sure that you're in the right place if the worst thing did happen.
Yeah, see, that's how I feel. Like, I know he must have some concerns that it makes him look weak. I know there's been reporting in the past that he doesn't like hospitals all that much. I get that. And I get the idea of, you know, you want to appear presidential. And as someone who has been very critical of the president, I want him to get better. I want the country to be safe and to have our commander-in-chief in his best position to lead as possible. And for me, I don't care if he has to run the country for the hospital. I think he should just put himself in the best position to be safe so that he can continue to do that as long as he's the president. That was a quick editorialized comment. I won't ask you to comment on that, Dr. Most, but that was just an aside. All right, so we were talking about Kayleigh McEnany testing positive, the campaign manager testing positive, Republican senators, three of them testing positive. I'm not asking you to hypothesize if last Saturday's Rose Garden event and the subsequent event inside the White House was a super spreader, but clearly there is an outbreak at the White House. Is that a proper term to consider this as an outbreak at our command central of the country?
Yeah, you would. And you can look back at that event. Everybody in the Rose Garden that day was tested prior to them going into the Rose Garden, all tested negative. So someone in that Rose Garden, because if you look at the spread, that there's no way that these individuals all went back to their regular lives and were exposed in that period of time and got positive. That was the event. It's just a matter of who was patient zero that spread it. If you look at where they were seated, that really doesn't give you a good idea. But then you look afterwards, the interactions between the people, shaking hands, being very close to each other, and then we don't even know what happened inside. So
right.
Very concerning, and I would not be surprised to see more people that were at that event test positive here.
Or people that interacted with people who were at that event.
100%.
And I think that there's a good lesson from what's happening at the White House for everyone else, because, again, I don't want to disparage Kayleigh McEnany or other people. Look, you feel fine, you're testing negative, so you're thinking, I am in the clear, but there's such a lag time on this. And really, whether it's anyone at any workplace, if you have come into contact with someone, even if you test negative, even if you feel great, if there's been a prolonged exposure, you need to stay isolated.
100%. People have to understand that when you first get exposed, you may not test positive immediately. Matter of fact, we know that that's the case. And yet, as that virus starts to multiply and you are speaking, talking, doing whatever, the virus is being expelled, exhaled towards these individuals. And if you don't have symptoms, well, then you continue to do that. Even if you didn't, some people that are asymptomatic, we eventually would test them, and they have enough viral load to test positive. So we know that early on, not only are you very contagious, the virus is replicating very quickly and is allowing you to spread. So anytime you have a known contact that's close, you certainly should be quarantined, as the CDC has told us, for 10 to 14 days.
When you look at the timeline here, I think it goes without a doubt that it seems like at least somebody or multiple people were contagious at the debate site last Tuesday. Obviously, it depends on who interacted with who. And Joe Biden has tested negative a couple times, including yesterday. But it would be important to note that he is not in the clear yet on this.
Oh, no. No one's really in the clear for probably the next 10 days, the virus multiplies in people differently. People's immune system is totally different. So anybody that had a really good, close potential contact, really, you're not in the clear for 10 to 14 days, which is exactly why we do the 10-day quarantine. We know that people can change in that period of time.
Well, I guess then the question is, I know that the vice president was 12 feet away from the president, but there was a lot of shouting going on, and you see Vice President Biden campaigning in Florida today. It does raise that question of whether he should be or not, and I won't put that to you, but that certainly is at least a worthy question to ask, right?
It is a worthy question. And, the other question is, we talk always about droplets, and droplets can go, 6 feet, and then they're going to drop to the ground. And that's with normal conversation. If you look at some of the studies or some of the outbreaks that we've seen, which have been in choirs, choir practices, where people are yelling and screaming, where it's gone much greater distance than 6 feet. I don't think that they thought at that debate that there would be yelling and screaming between the two candidates, and thus put them, whatever it was, 8.5, 10 feet apart. In hindsight, they probably should have moved those further apart.
Whoever didn't think that there'd be yelling and screaming and interrupting at the debate needs to relook at things. I would have put it at 25 feet or virtually at that. Dr. Most, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You got it, John. Take care.
As always, we appreciate his stopping by to give us some information.